Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
What's up, party people? Welcome to episode number 188 of the Brew Drink Run podcast. Everybody let out a big sigh for that. My name is Lee.
And I'm Keith.
I'm Raymond.
Oh, that sounds good. If you like the show, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google stuff, or wherever you get your podcast, Android people, and write a short review.
Is that something I haven't heard of yet? Yeah. Google stuff?
Yeah, it's where anything? Android people get okay. Their podcasts. Your ratings and reviews help more people to find out about us, or you can tell a friend by posting about the show on Facebook or Twitter. If you do that, be sure to tag us at Brew Drink Run. This is our big show. We talk about running, we talk about homebrewing, and we start every episode with a beer. Yes. Keith, what are we drinking?
We have Southern Belle, a Belgian ale from Arches, a brewing company. I think that's how they refer to themselves. But Arches, essentially, is all you need to know. This is a brewery in Hapeville, Georgia, which is just south of Atlanta. I used to live not too far from here, actually, in Atlanta. It's near the airport. Down in that general area. So it's my old stomping grounds when I heard about this brewery. And heard a lot of good things about them, just kind of word of mouth. I don't think they've been around too terribly long. So we decided over the Thanksgiving holiday recently to go check them out when we're in the Atlanta area. So this is a Belgian ale, 6.8%.
Alrighty. Why don't you pass that can over there to our dog, Raymond. If someone were to see this can on a shelf, what would they be looking at?
Well, a really nice, distinctive can, and what's nice about this is Keith brought another can of theirs along with this one, so I get to do a little comparison here. So both of them have really nice kind of matte finish labels. I don't know, is that the plastic? Yeah, the plastic wraps, and the Arches logo up at the top. Labels nice and clean, different looks to both of them, different fonts. But the distinctive characteristic across these cans is that there are arches built into the design across the bottom. Both in these cases, Gothic arches. The Southern Belle here has a high Gothic. If we're going into art history stuff,
it's pointy.
And then the other beer, which is actually Queen's Vice, is also a Gothic arch, but not. It would be early Gothic.
It's more roundy.
Nope. No, it's still pointy.
Still pointy.
Okay. So it's not, you're thinking Romanesque. That's yes. Where it's rounded.
Yes. That's exactly what I was doing. That's great. Yeah, so this was a light-colored label. The other was a dark-colored label. Yep. They've got the little jumps off with the name there on the front. We've also gone ahead and poured this out. Now, we are splitting this 12-ounce can three ways, so we're going to have nice petite little samples here today. But what does Southern Belle look like in a glass?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeesh. All right, so we've got nice orangey, kind of ruby, very clear beer in front of us. Maybe it gets kind of cloudy towards the center, but for the most part, it's pretty clear. It's a nice-looking beer. I think it's pretty.
And Keith, this has a really interesting aroma. What are you getting on the nose?
Vanilla and toasted coconut. Yep. So this is a beer, and we were talking a little bit about this, but they do give you a little flavor profile, and it says dark fruit, coconut, vanilla, exotic. So the smell of exotic and taste of exotic is in there. But anyways, it's a Belgian ale, and it says that that the beer is complemented by complex flavors drawn from exotic South African wood, which it doesn't say it's aged in, South American. I said African, South American wood. It doesn't say that it's aged in barrels. So I'm guessing these are staves or chips of some kind, but it could be barrels. They just don't really tell us one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It does say it's designed on a Belgian water profile. So they're obviously using some kind of salts and whatnot to try and replicate a true Belgian water profile for this beer. I've had this before. Obviously, I went to the brewery. I didn't try it when I was there, but brought home a couple of cans of their 3 year rounds, which would be this Southern Belle, the Queen's Weisse, which is a Hefeweizen, and then they have the Unseasonal Lager, which I believe is just an American pale lager of some kind. All of them have been very good, and I've enjoyed them. I thought this one was particularly interesting because of those. That coconut and vanilla element to me is just so unique to a Belgian style beer, but I personally, I think it works really, really well. But the aroma is strong with that kind of coconut, vanilla, barrel kind of thing.
There's a floral note to it for me as well, just something that's a little bit kind of perfumey in a way. But it's a very, very interesting smell. And for the appearance of it and the aroma and the little bit that we know about it, I feel like it's setting the stage up for something really interesting. You guys go ahead and take a sip if you haven't already, and then lean in and let people know what your first impressions are.
Well, I don't have a first impression, so I'll let Raymond go because I've tried this before.
Well, you spoke about the wood aspects to this. That's my first impression. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of something kind of some sort of wood. Cedar is what comes to mind at first.
No. Okay.
It's kind of spicy. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think that I think it's an interesting meld of a Belgian double, but mm-hmm. it's kind of a milder one. It's not quite as rich with kind of the dark fruity flavors, but it does carry a lot of those kind of tannic wood, that coconut, kind of the vanilla definitely comes through for me as well. But I just think it's an interesting beer.
It's super interesting. And for me, there is it's not bitterness. I mean, maybe bitterness, but not necessarily a hot bitterness. There's I'm trying to think. It's
like a spice. Like I get kind of like a, I mean, to me, it's like a spice thing.
It's like clove or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're talking about the cinnamon. Tannic quality, and I do get that. Like you get in a lot of wines. I don't get cedar. For me, cedar in particular, I have a very, I don't know if it's a sensitivity or just a kind of reaction type thing to cedar.
We've had a few cedar
the
beers.
Fuzzy and tongue
are,
kind
yeah,
of
they
thing.
Yeah, they're intense.
Yeah, so I don't feel that, but it's probably the coconut is what I don't love. And that's because I don't love coconut.
Right, yeah.
But I find it to be very interesting in this beer. And I find myself wanting to know more about it. Like you said, we have these kind of like hints to what went into it, but we don't have a lot more background. And I'm very curious from the brewing side of it, what this recipe looked like or what the process looked like.
Yeah. I mean, I really love coconut. I love like beers that utilize coconut really well, like toasted coconut. And this one does taste very toasty. And I keep thinking, did they put coconut in this? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily say that.
Right.
It says that it gets unique character mm-hmm. from a specific type of wood, but not specific, like some from at least from a region. So there's a lot of kind of mystery shroud.
Is it coconut tree wood?
It could be, you know, maybe it is. Maybe it is.
South America has coconut trees.
There you go. So, I find this beer, I was very surprised by it and sort of taken aback by how well, to me, that kind of mild Belgian double type character blended with these flavors. Cause I would not, maybe the vanilla aspect I could see, but the coconut was threw me for a loop, especially by how much I enjoyed it. Again, as someone who enjoys coconut.
So. Well, the way the beer looks, this kind of, I don't know, clearish amber. I mean, it's a light bodied beer. Like it's very easy to drink.
Indeed.
And the flavors are traditionally for me, heavier flavors,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they would be melded into a much more substantial beer, base beer than this is. And I think that's why I really am just so intrigued because...
Right. And, you know, I'm using double mainly based on the ABV because, I mean, that would be the sweet spot for that kind of beer. So, I mean, they certainly could have decided to take something and make it kind of an offshoot of that kind of thing using a Belgian water profile and similar type grains, but maybe, you know, maybe not, maybe something with the yeast or a type mm-hmm. of yeast that was used, but usually you get a lot of those fruity flavors out of a Belgian yeast, you know, so.
And there's that little bit of a bubblegummy thing too. I mean, that I get with doubles. Do you get any of that?
I don't get the bubblegum usually so much in doubles as I do triples.
Triples.
Yeah. That's usually where I get that kind of, or like, you know, as particularly Hefeweizens will have that kind of bubble gummy, like clovey kind of thing. But I do feel like there's a little bit of clove, like Raymond pointed that out initially. And I think there's kind of a clovey kind of spice thing going on in this as well.
Yeah. Hey, Raymond, you were going to say something and I stepped over.
I was thinking the name kind of implies that doubled too, because it's Southern Bell, but it's B-E-L. And I know that goes towards the Belgian, but it could also be the double.
Double, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true. This is a play on words, perhaps.
Well, the little what is that called there at the end? The apostrophe or yep. That's would be, since it's on the end, it would be on the front end if it was double.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be a lowercase b, and I think that would be on the front. So that's where the. You know, where the break's going. So
fine, Mr. Grammar.
Sorry.
Yeah, but the spicing in a beer of this weight and what they're doing, I think is super interesting. And if that's any indication of the kind of direction they're going, and this is one of their four regular...
They had three, like they offered a mixed six pack, which I bought at the brewery. You know, I was asked, well, can you mix and match kind of thing? And they said, well, we have pre-made, you know, two, and two. And so I think they have three beers they generally make all year round. And then like when we were there, they had a milk porter on tap. They had a Russian Imperial Stout that they'd put in barrels. And so they had a few other offerings that were outside of the norm, but they were kind of all over the place with style, which I liked. It wasn't like they were focusing just on Belgian beer or this kind of beer or that kind of beer. It was definitely a small facility. It was not a huge place, and so they're obviously working in smaller batches at the moment, but I'd heard really good things about their lager, particularly, which was good.
The unseasonal
lager, yeah, and it was very enjoyable. But I was definitely more surprised by these two. I was just kind of like, well, sure, I'll try a beer. So I was surprised at how much I liked them.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like you, I don't think I've heard anything bad about these guys. I have not heard a lot, but what I have heard has been overwhelmingly positive. So it's nice to have some of these and tick them off the list. Thanks for bringing them in, Keith.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you all want to drink the other one, or do you want to move on to running talk, etc.?
Well, let's start talking about running.
All right.
Let's get into that, because I know this is going to be some hot and heavy chat, and I need to stay focused and clear-headed as we get into this. Raymond, how's your running going?
I did the turkey trot as we discussed in the last podcast, but I did that, did not run it at my fastest pace ever, but, had a lot of fun because I actually ran it with my son who's been doing cross country. So we kind of, ran along with each other for most of the race. My daughter was going to try to keep up with us too, but when we got to the first hill that kind of went away. so it was good. Ran with some of my cousins and nephews and just had a nice little fun family run. It was good.
Yeah. Keith, you often do a turkey trot with the fam up in Grant Park, right? Did you guys do that this year?
Emily and Jacqueline did. Emily came in first in the children's division of the neighborhood run. So nice. She finished first. So they have a little tradition over there with the little neighborhood run that every year, the person who wins, and this is the first time they did children, they added the children's group, but whoever wins gets something. It's like it's basically just a big stick, and whoever has it that year has to add something to the stick. Oh. So there's this big crazy stick with all this weird stuff hanging off of it and whatever. And so this year the kids had a hat. So the hat was given to Jacqueline, and so she will get to add something to the hat sometime this year when she comes back to run next year. And if she wins again, she'll get to take it home and add something else to the hat. So it's a fun little tradition.
That's kind of fun. That's a neat thing. Instead of just a trophy or whatever, it's something that you keep contributing to. That's a neat idea.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I have not run a turkey trot. I'm super jealous of your trotting turkeys and your family's trotting after those turkeys. I have been running, but I have not been enjoying it. I haven't been enjoying it at all, and I don't know the last time that I did enjoy it. So
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm not
What's
looking.
What's wrong?
I'm not looking for your pity. It's just not fun. I don't know if it's a monotony thing. I don't know if it's
just being kind of over it. Like it's I'm doing it not because I want to. I'm doing it because I feel like I have to. So if we're like, you know, weight management in order to drink beers, in order to fit into my clothes, it's not something I'm out and like, wow, I'm really enjoying doing this and I feel like I'm getting better at it or any of that. It's just kind of like, ugh, it's kind of drudgery.
Have you done anything to try to shake things up? Like run backwards?
Oh, running backwards is a great idea. There you go. But I hear if you run backwards, you actually add weight. So it's like Ferris Bueller type situation. Yeah, it's not what you want to do. So, no, I haven't. But I think it's because it's, you know, going out to run at 6 o'clock in the morning and your BDR weather report, it's 40 degrees outside right now. And it's enough to get out the door. Like, I can't then be expected to be creative about what I'm going to do other than just try to move. So that's happening. I'm doing the 3 days a week of running and I'm doing 2 days a week of yoga, which I think helps. I think it does make the running better. It definitely makes sitting at my desk all day better. You know, and I got one of those standing desk things that goes up and down. And I feel like that's made a quality of life difference, not like world changing. Some people talk about their standing desk, like they're talking about their, you know, like love lives or their 401ks. It's not that great. But I think it does help having an option for a little bit. So it's just fine. I'm just kind of over it. I just kind of don't want to do it. It's just kind of work, but I'm doing it for whatever that's worth. I think maybe, I don't know, having a race to look forward to sounds like a good idea. You know, something that it always used to be a good motivator, but I just, I wouldn't, not that I was ever competitive, but I would be super uncompetitive. And I just don't really want to set myself up for that. I would just rather be miserable by myself instead of miserable in a group of people. Because why? If you like running, call into the show. Let us know. I'd love to hear an alternate opinion from my own. I would love to hear someone who's super psyched about running and could tell me how to be excited about running too. Speaking of excited about running, congrats to our friend Matt, who just Boston qualified on the Kiowa Marathon a couple of days ago. So congrats to him. I know that was a lot of work. I know he worked really hard for it. And from what I understand, he enjoys to run. Homebrewing. I'm going down a list of things we talked about.
That we
beer. We talked about running. The one thing that I hear about most from listeners of the podcast is asking for updates on Raymond's Brewhouse. So it's been a little bit since we've done one. So this is going to be a big deal. Raymond, tell us a little bit about Raymond's Brewing Company, LLC. How it's going?
Well, the building is now complete. I know I said this last time, but really hoped that we would be able to podcast from inside the building until I realized that I didn't have any furniture in there. So we didn't have any place to sit. But, you know, it's there. It's air. It's heated now because it's 40 degrees, weather report.
Thank you.
So maybe next time I'll remember to actually get some chairs or something for us to...
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's nice. You did a great job with it. It looks really good. I'm excited to see how the podcast works in there. See with the how cozy it is. This all cuddled up.
How the acoustics work.
Yeah. But it's going to be cool to have that option. So kudos to you and your brewery. For me, I've got to do a write up on one of those Brooklyn Brew Shop 1 gallon kits.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nice one. So I need to turn that out.
Didn't we talk about one of their books not too long ago?
We did. We did talk about one of their books. They've made some changes to that brew kit. I think we did one on BDR years ago.
Way back.
Yeah.
So there's some small differences to it. I think they've changed the recipes. They've changed up what you get in the kit. So I've got to do that. So that'll be fun to have 1 gallon of some pumpkin beer. You can tell when I got this kit and the fact that I haven't done it. Oh boy. That'll be out by the time this podcast comes out. that review will probably be out there in the ether. So anyway, it's haven't done it yet. One thing I'm excited to try that's semi beer related I got in the mail is from, I think it's Jameson's. They're a whiskey place, right? Irish whiskey. Yeah. Jameson's.
Yep.
They have done a, cask aging project, and so they have this new one that's IPA aged in some way. So I'm excited to read more about it. I got it in the mail a couple of days ago. I haven't read the literature yet to see what that is, if it was a beer that was barrel aged and then came out or what.
And what about reading? There's a leisure time activity that will help you learn things you'd like to know about many subjects.
Raymond's Book Corner.
Raymond's Book Corner is back, brought to you by Audible.com. If you like to have things read to you, and who wouldn't? Ever since we're little babies and mommies used to read to us, that was the best. Audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun. Get a free book and your mommy can read to you. Raymond, what are you recommending to have mommy read to us this week?
Oh, I have an awesome book that actually my wife was reading to the kids. And so mommy did read this book, just not to me. She kept talking about how great it was. So I've picked it up. It's called Bone Gap. It's by Laura Ruby. And it is actually really a great, fun, very quick read. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Bone Gap. Is it about what I think it's about?
Nope.
All right, cool. To download Bone Gap or any other book in the world, go to audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun. Holidays are coming up. You're going to be in the car a lot. You're going to be trying to avoid your family. It's a great time to check out Audible, see what they do, get a free book. Books are long when you have somebody read them to you. They're like hours and hours. audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun. Get a free book, get a free trial. Tell them Raymond sent you. If you like reading real books, or if you want to buy it, go to Amazon.com. Actually, go to this website. Go to brewdrinkrun.com. Look at the show notes for this episode and click on the link. Clicking on the link gets us some kickback. We like it to kick back. We'll be right back. Speaking of, that was a good segue. I did great. You know, earlier I mentioned that the holiday season was coming up, and I think most of us, when we think about the holidays, you know, we think about Canadian Thanksgiving, we think about Boxing Day, but there's one holiday that sometimes we don't give enough attention to, but thankfully there is a New York brewery who gives us all, no matter what our faith, a reason to celebrate. Keith, what are we drinking?
We're going to have some Jubilation. Jubilation 21. This is the 24th anniversary ale from Schmaltz Brewing. This is the Hebrewed department of their brewery. They also have the Coney Island line. So.
Which they spun off.
Yeah.
Somebody bought it.
Somebody did. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
They do not do the Coney Island. I can't remember, but I think it's a bigger brewery that just
So they just sold that brand off to someone in the recipes, and they're doing just the Hebrew stuff now. All right. So there you have it. This is an interesting beer to me. It started out as, I don't remember when they first did it, but where they would use, let's say it was the 12th anniversary, they would use 12 malts, 12 hops, and it would be 12% ABV. And that continued to grow for years. I'm not sure when that changed. I kind of had stopped picking them up sometimes just because the ABVs got higher than our state limits, you know, and sometimes it just would pass me on the shelf. But obviously this has changed. Now they're kind of doing a culmination of all the ingredients. So in this case, we're going to have 10 malts, 11 hops, and a 12.1% ABV. So they're not really kind of, I guess they're the 2-1 on the end is sort of making up. So it's a little bit looser. It's not quite as a firm thing, but it's always a fun beer to try, and it's usually pretty intense. So let's let Raymond tell us a little bit about this bottle art.
Oh, well, let me have a look at it here first. Oh, this is from a distance, it looked kind of busy, but now that I've got it, I understand what's going on here. They have a New York Brewing Schmaltz Brewing Company New York State driver's license on here. So I've got the address, they've got square feet, employees, 32 with an exclamation mark, date of birth and all that sort of thing. So it looks like a driver's license on it. That's pretty cute.
It is really cute. Yeah. And the little guy, is he kind of like a Orthodox? Does he have the little curls and everything?
Yeah, yeah. The guy in the photo is a Orthodox Jew. He's holding up two bottles of beer. celebratory style. And then it's got the 10 malts and 11 hops listed as part of the statistics on the license too, and the ABV and all that good stuff. The
points. I find it cute when breweries, when they are around for 21 years, it's a tired joke, but I do like it. Well, hey, we're finally allowed to drink, you know. So
yeah, it is cute. It's a good one to. It's always nice to celebrate your anniversaries, your milestones, but 21 in beer years is pretty good. Pretty good one to bring out.
Absolutely.
And we've already poured this into our glasses, splitting this 22-ounce bottle three ways. What does the beer look like in a glass, Raymond?
Let's see. We've got kind of a nice dark beer. It's but it's that warm dark. I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's kind of like a tobacco or something. And I don't know where that came from, but that's what popped into my head at first. A lot of lacing around the edges. You move it around in the glass, lots of bubbles in there. So it looks very carbonated. Yeah, it's got that cola kind of look to it, I guess, is what our typical
cola is pretty good. Yeah.
Is.
Boston Beer Company bought Coney Island.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't. Big beer. It was just bigger beer.
just another fight between New York and Boston. Right?
Just another thing. But they've kept them. They're in that Alchemy and Science division, you know, that they have, which is like the IPA, the one that just makes the IPA, and the one that the Traveler, all that kind of stuff. That's their little sub one. All right. The nose, the aroma on this. There's a lot going on in the description, so I'm excited to see what we might be able to smell in that.
I feel like this needs to almost warm up a little bit. It's kind of very rich and malty. Even with all the hops in there, I get really like that kind of rich caramel and some of that dark fruity thing, but I feel like it's just still too cold. Like I'm not getting anything distinct. You know what I mean? But it smells nice. There's maybe even a little bit of kind of just general spice coming off one of the hops or something like that.
So. Definitely not as busy as I expected. Mm-hmm. I think that once it warms up, like you said, we will probably get some additional notes in there. Once we get it a little closer to drinking temperature, because it's pretty cold right now.
Weather report.
It's cold, real cold. So I think we should use this time to talk about the names of some of the other beers that Schmaltz has. Like there's Hop Mana, their IPA. Mm-hmm. There is the Messiah Nut Brown Ale. There's Genesis, which is their dry hop session ale. That was one of their original beers, I think. That one's been around the line a long time. I think that may be one of the ones they first came out with. Uh-huh. There is Rejuvenator.
That's pretty good.
Yep. The Jubilations, of course. There's Funky Jubilation.
Which we've had one. We had one on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to ask. That's a different line than what we're drinking now.
It is the... yes. So it is the a blend of the... Jubilations, I think, but it's barrel aged and like soured. Okay. You know, they add something to it, I think. Rye whiskey barrels, something like that. There's the Hanukkah Chanukah Pass the Beer, which is their other seasonal for this time of year that comes out for the Hanukkah season. Mm-hmm. That is 8 hops, 8 malts, 8% ABV. That is technically, I guess it's like a golden strong. And so it's really light bodied, really bright golden, but it has cocoa nibs in it. It is a really unique drinking sensation. When
it's kind of like a blondie, like a chocolate blondie.
In a way. Yeah, in a way. And it's surprisingly really tasty because it's a pretty substantial beer in terms of the ABV. But it's light bodied. It looks like you're drinking something that's not going to have much teeth, but then it's got that chocolate in it.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting beer. I was really happy to give that one a try recently. She Brew. This really goes on. They also have a whole series of Star Trek beers. Which is kind of a weird...
I saw the Klingon beer in the store the other day. I was like, oh, what? Okay.
Klingon Imperial Porter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's also Hop Orgy. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that fits in with the rest of the branding, but there it is.
It's Star Trek.
There's the Bok Bok, which is kind of fun. Yeah. Just saying Bok Bok. All right. Has it warmed up enough to drink? Have I filled enough time?
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Oh.
Huh. Oh. Mm-hmm. That's Oh.
Well, the taste is maybe more like I was expecting. I don't know yet how the aroma is playing into it, but the flavors there's a lot happening here. But it leaves with a really saccharine dryness in the aftertaste a little bit. But before that, there is a lot of the dark fruit. There's the caramel. There is a little bit of a smoke something. There's a lot happening.
I get like a soy sauce.
Sure.
That kind of just, when you get so many malts going, sometimes like I get that a lot in like a Doppelbock, you know, kind of thing, which is, you know, it's kind of expected to be in there. But there's that kind of just kind of rich, almost salty, malty kind of thing going on. But I agree with everything else that you said. There's definitely that kind of rich caramel and these kind of subdued dark fruits and that kind of thing.
Soy sauce. So when we talk about soy sauce, it's been a while since I've had a beer that I could reference that way. Is it usually a result of the malts, or is it sometimes how a beer turns with the aging? I can't really remember my soy sauce.
I believe it. I don't think it's a I don't think it's an off flavor. Right. There's no, it's not that it's not something that happens when the brewing process is done incorrectly or something's missed or a step's missed or something like that. I believe it is just a natural occurrence from just the malt profile that you use. Some of the best Doppelbocks that I've had, I think a Celebrator is one that's super soy saucy, but it's delicious. It really works with all of the other kind of rich malty flavors that make up that beer. But I'm definitely getting some of that, and I just have to assume it's coming from that aspect. Now, it might increase as this beer sits. I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is going to become more soy saucy as time goes by. And much like you, it's been a while since I've had a beer where I just got that kind of distinct, you know, kind of rich, a little bit salty flavor. So,
and it is interesting to have the kind of savoriness to it. I mean, having salt in beer, especially with the number of gozes that are available, I mean, that's becoming less and less surprising, maybe, or less catching you less off guard. But this is truly like savory in a way that like a steak might be in a way, because it's juicy, but it has that not just saltiness, but a real kind of meat to it. Like it's more, it's more complex than just the kind of salt aspect. And soy sauce is an interesting way to look at it. And I don't know if it's 100% kind of that thing, but with the kind of peppery taste to it too, like there's just a really, really interesting blend of things going on here that I don't know that if I heard someone say, hey, it tastes, you know, there's a soy sauce character, that wouldn't like make me hot for the beer, you know, like just hearing someone say that. But I'm really enjoying drinking this. I think there's some interesting things happening.
I really enjoy the front end of this beer a whole lot. The middle and the back end, you dinged it earlier because you started to talk about what you were tasting, and then you were getting that flavor that's that kind saccharine, like just almost acidic dryness that goes on. But then like in the really like long aftertaste, there's like this kind of, you know, just sort of like, you know, like rich kind of almost burnt raisiny flavor that comes out, which is really, really nice. But it just takes a long time and not drinking it another sip to kind of get to it.
Yeah.
It's like this kind of almost like caramel raisin, but this, you know, slightly little almost like char burn going on. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fairly boozy too. That out. I wouldn't call it like insanely hot, but I can taste the alcohol in it fairly well.
And I think in between those two aftertastes that you mentioned, I get one that's almost a little bit metal in between those two. So I get that kind of saccharine acidity, and then I get just kind of like a cold metal, and then goes into the, and then it gets into that really nice sweet spot.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, like how would you even begin to start trying to dissect a beer that has this many disparate elements to be like, oh, well, it's the Centennial hops with the with the rye and the, you know, no, it's not that.
Well, it could be. It is, but who knows which one is really doing anything. I mean, if you're getting a spicy element and there's rye in it, yeah, sure. I'm sure that's adding some of that. But this kind of like basically American strong ale is designed to be big and intense. That's the point. The point is to, you know, basically sort of attack your senses and your taste buds and hope that hope that you dig it. And I mean, a lot of these, I mean, when I first bought one of these, I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. I wasn't necessarily like looking for a true beer experience where I was going to enjoy it. It was the shtick, and they even have something about, you know,
they shtick is one of their things.
Yeah. Yes. That's one of their things is they say, yes, we have a shtick going. So to do, you know, 13 hops, 13 malts and make it 13% ABV is just, hey, that sounds fun. I want in on that. And I'm not sure I was really had high expectations. I think some of those, earlier incarnations of Jubilation that I've had, some were quite good and some maybe I wasn't too into, you know.
And this beer in particular, the press that they sent along with the bottle, this bottle was provided, by the way, by Schmaltz. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
It was a one sheet that basically listed facts throughout history that involved the number 21. It had absolutely nothing to do with the beer whatsoever, right, other than to say what we've already read off of it. But the one thing that I did find interesting was in the press for this, they basically referred to the style of this beer three different ways. They referred to it as an American strong, they referred to it as a barley wine, and they referred to it as an imperial brown ale.
Yeah. So basically what they're saying is it could be any of these things.
I'm going to enter it in all these categories.
Yeah. Pick which one fits in best for you and enjoy it that way. So, cause I can see barley wine but it doesn't have quite the hop character of an American barley wine. It doesn't have quite the sweet kind of toasty caramel that you might expect in a English barley wine per se. But, I can see that how, and either of those ones, but it just sort of fits into that generic American strong ale, you know?
And it is weird to see a brewery just kind of throw out different styles.
Yeah.
in a press release like that. And not to say, you know, like there are elements that you may associate, though they just kind of like freewheeling what it is. Now on the bottle, does it actually claim to have a style or
man,
no?
It's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot to read. Give me a second.
It probably is listing all the 21s throughout history. If I know what's going on here. Yeah. I'm getting nods. So
can
this,
you remember any of them?
Oh boy. 21 years to be able to drink.
It's 21st Amendment.
21 battleship guns in a battle. It's
21 gun salute.
Oh, that was what it was. Yeah,
uh-huh. So you were
there were 21 guns at some point.
Yeah. All right. Look, it's such small writing. Yeah, I'm not going to bother with it. It sounds like it's the same exact thing that you were given. It's just in really small writing. Be careful, there is still beer in that glass. So as he turns it fully sideways to read. But yeah, it's an interesting beer. I mean, I'm gonna say that generally I like it. For a 22-ounce bottle, boy, I'm not gonna try and tackle this on my own. This is definitely a share with others, I would say. Not just simply because of the high ABV, but I think that I would tire, my palate would tire of having to work so hard at some point. There are some beers that you kind of can do that with, and I don't think this is one of them. And I think it's that sort of middle section that's a little bit harsher and more intense. Now, maybe 6 months of sitting on this or something like that, we might mellow some of that out. Who knows?
Yeah.
If you're into that, you know, in cellaring things, you know, maybe stick one aside for a little while. I wouldn't go too long, but a little bit.
Well, the hops for sure could withstand some time because that there is that barley wine part of it. There is the kind of overhopped nature of it that I think it can sit for a little bit and mellow out a little bit on that side probably. But the Imperial Brown, I keep thinking, going back to that as I'm drinking it and enjoying it and trying to think about other Imperial Browns. I know I've run across some, but this is, I don't know. It just seems kind of gutsy to call it that when there's that much going on. And with an Imperial Brown, yeah. I just would think about something, maybe it's more simple, but
I mean, yeah, I think Imperial, I mean, at service, we do an Imperial Brown Stout, which is just like a big, super, super malty, rich stout. But it's done with, you know, more brown malts and that kind of thing. So I can see maybe where they're coming from there. This does not feel like that beer to me. Yeah. And it does not feel like your typical, you know, 5% brown ale, but amped up a little bit, you know, maybe with a little extra ABV and body and that kind of thing. But
All right. Well, I'm a big dum-dum, so let's see what the smart folks on the internet have to say about Jubilation.
To beer or not to beer, it's time for Beer Review Theater.
Jubilation 21 pretty much just came out, so there is not a lot on the old internets about it. Only like maybe 30 untapped check-ins.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Not many at all. And there are no written reviews for it on Beer Advocate yet. So while the beer does change a little bit from year to year, I thought it might be worth to turn back the clock and read what people had to say about Jubilation 20. This is a Beer Advocate review from Brutal Truth. Brutal Truth reviewed this beer probably 3-4 months after it came out, it looks like here. And Brutal Truth has a zombie avatar. His name is Brutal Truth. So I need to dust off my zombie a little bit for this one. It's going to be a pretty active. It's going to be like a running quality zombie, or else I'd never get through this if I was just going to totally drag the zombie out. Nobody wants to hear that.
No.
Not a super long review, but he gave it a, or she, who knows, Brutal Truth, 4.34 out of 5, a look of 4, a smell of 4.25, a taste of 4.5, feel of 4.25 overall at 4.34.
From a 22-ounce bottle in a snifter, this big ale pours a rugged, deep, dark cola, brown with a moderate head of off-white foam that settles to a thick ring, thin, wispy pool, and sports late lacing. Nose of booze, sweet brown sugar malts, some date and fig notes, toasted malt notes, cherries, and light anise notes. Flavors hit it out of the park with a clash of flavors that vary widely with warmth. Brandy and cherry notes swim with date and herbal hops with notes of dark brown sugars and tobacco mixing with warming booze and a sublimely balanced hop note that is balanced with herbal and light bitter notes playing off the malt. Excellent mouthfeel, medium full juicy body. Smooth the brew of this heft could possibly be silk and warming with a medium hop and sweet malt finish. Overall, this is the biggest beast of a great brew I have come across with this many ingredients that is balanced and not a mangled mess. Worth trying. Excellent work, Schmaltz. And thanks for the shtick. Cheers.
You all right?
Yeah, man.
I'll okay, be fine. Good. All
right. Yeah, just need to wash this zombie out of my mouth real quick.
All right.
Back on it.
I think that's some interesting comparisons to kind of what we have, but obviously we're not drinking that beer, so it's hard to say. I think he touched on tobacco, and that's kind of an interesting thing with this beer. It's not something that popped into my head, but there is kind of that tobacco-y kind of dry, leathery thing going on.
100%.
So I think that sort of brought that out. After I heard that, I took a little sip, and I was like, yeah, there's some of that going on in this beer, too.
Yeah, the couple of things that were right there together, it was brandy and cherry, date, herbal hops, dark brown sugar, and tobacco. And I feel like especially we didn't really, I mean, I don't know, I guess I took for granted saying that it would be sweet. Yep. But it is, and it is that brown sugar. I mean, that's how I would describe it as well.
I actually don't feel like this beer is overly sweet, though. It's less sweet than I thought. I thought it would be sweeter and like more syrupy, and it's neither, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe because the hops are still really stiff. I think with some time, it definitely would probably become more of that kind of syrupy, kind of more coalescent thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Which I might not mind, honestly. I gotta say. Yeah.
See, the hops aren't bothering me in this beer. I like a fresh American style barley wine, and to me, I don't even think that they're that brazen or in my face. I know that they're there, but I don't feel like they're too intense to enjoy now. You know,
The beer has warmed up. Has the aroma changed for either of you now that there's been a little bit more time on it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's definitely more intense. There's something there. It's that kind of there's more of a rich malt sweetness going on, maybe like molasses or something like that, which wasn't necessarily there. Like I'm getting something distinct, like this kind of molassesy thing, which before it was just sort of a fairly pleasant but undistinguishable malt thing. So
I feel like it smells a little boozier too, maybe. Yeah. Like kind of like a high alcohol scent to it, aroma, but definitely more intense aroma overall. Raymond, final thoughts on Jubilation 21.
Well, I enjoy it a lot more now that it's warmed up. I thought it was a little muddled early on, but now I'm getting some distinct flavors and it's coming through. I'm enjoying it more now.
Keith?
I think I'm kind of middle of the road on this one. I'm not sure I'm going to go out and pick up a bottle of this if I see it. I don't think that would stop me from telling the guy standing next to me that, hey, that's really pretty interesting if you're looking for something out of the ordinary or maybe that you haven't had before, because having had it, knowing that it's a quality product and it's unique in its own way and interesting. So I wouldn't tell anyone not to try it. I think it's worth a try. I'm not sure after having it, I'm going to go, oh, I just saw that. Yeah, we just had that the other night. I'm going to pick up a bottle of that and have it later. So I don't know what that means exactly, but.
Well, I don't know. I think that you explained it pretty well. I think it is. I wouldn't go middle of the road. I think I'm definitely glad that I had it. And I think, like you, I would recommend to someone else who may be looking for something out of the ordinary, something they definitely have not had before that's going to be on the shelves this season.
Yeah.
I think this is definitely a direction you can point them in. It would be a lot to drink a bottle like this by yourself if you do pick this up. Take it to a share. And I don't know. I mean, I've talked a little bit about trying to smooth out some of the edges a little bit, but I don't know that I would actually buy it to do that. I think that if you're buying it, you should drink it. I think this is one that you need to go ahead and experience the way it is right now. And I think that it's fun. I think this is a fun brewery. While this beer is of theirs is not my favorite that I've had, everything I've had of them, I've been really surprised by. Yeah. Like, and I felt like they were good beers.
Yeah, when I said middle of the road, I don't mean like as in the sense of the brewery is a middle of the road brewery or something like that. I meant more for me personally, this is not, you know, it sits somewhere in the middle of my beer experiences. You know, it's not going to be ultimately the most memorable, but in the short term, it'll probably pop in my head a couple of times about how interesting it was. So.
Well, it's going to be memorable to me because I shared it with you guys. Until the next beer that we have, and then that will take its place. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can do that to find out about us and what we do and read Keith's old beer reviews. They're still there. They're still there waiting for you to read them. They're great. You should go do that. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Brew Drink Run. We're all on Untappd too. If you want to be a part of the show, email us, team@brewdrinkrun.com. I want to hear about how much you love to run. I want your enthusiasm to just leech right off onto me, and I will get out there and pound the pavement. Thanks to you. Let us know about your home brewing, that running training, your favorite place to grab a beer, your favorite local brewery. If you've got a hometown brewery like Arches, we want to hear about them and send us some beer. That'd be great. Call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465, so I can hear your enthusiasm for running, not just read it. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts, technical running shirts available at our website. We're almost out of time for holiday delivery. You need to get right up on that. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at the bar. Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
Shouldn't it be like L'chaim?
Yeah, this, I was about
for
to
this
say,
episode.
Like,
yeah.
Granted that this gets out by Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy, happy Hanukkah.
Yeah. And if not, I'm sorry. I hope you had a happy Hanukkah.